A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday, everybody out there. Happy Saturday, even to you, Betsy.
Oh, even thank you.
To
me.
Yeah, I debated, but I decided.
That you better do
it? Well, I got an hour or so to sit here with you. I might as well get it off to a good start.
Good plan.
Now, how are you with big purchases?
Oh, they terrify me.
Big purchases terrify
you? Yes, because I have to spend all of that money on something, and I better make the right decision.
They're fun, in a way, because we get all this new stuff. But there is that anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
You know, buying a car, buying a house is really scary. Even buying furniture and buying flooring
are huge
decisions, huge purchases. And if you do it wrong, you really, really regret that for a long time.
Right. So at the end of the show today, we're going to be joined by Samantha Baker from UBU Furnishings. And she's going to talk about furniture and how we go about choosing it.
And before that, we'll be sitting down with Nick Sargent from Johnson's Carpet One to talk about flooring. So between the two segments, we should be able to cut through a lot of confusion and help you formulate a plan for that next big purchase.
Right. And Brad Krause from Service Professor is also going to be with us to give us the scoop on duct cleaning. You know, is it really worth it? Does it make a difference? We're actually going to find out in a little bit.
But first, let's talk about a common experience that we get at Repco Light all the time.
Right. So every week we talk to a number of customers who have older homes or furniture, maybe even trim, that they want to repaint. And a lot of times with older things, the concern is that the previous coating on there is oil-based. And when this happens, the same questions always arise. Mm-hmm. How do I tell if the paint on the surface is actually oil-based paint?
Yes, that question is usually asked and there's like a tear
just starting to form.
Because they're already worried that it's going to be.
Right.
So how do I tell if it is?
Right. And it's very quickly followed up by, and if it is, do I really have to keep using oil-based paint?
Right. As we said, these questions come up all the time at Repco Light. So we thought, what a perfect time and an opportunity to address them here.
Right.
And really, we want to start with the first part of that question.
Yes.
How do I determine what kind of paint is on the surface?
Yep.
Now, there is a really simple, super simple way to do that. And all you need to do is to get ammonia.
Yep. A lot of people already have it.
And a rag.
Yes.
And ideally, it would be a rag that's a different color than your wall.
Yeah.
And here's what you do. You put the ammonia on the rag. Mm-hmm. And you wipe the wall. I mean, this is really complicated stuff.
You could let the kids do it.
Well, it's ammonia.
Yeah.
So they'd probably touch their eyes or something. I'm going to have my wife
like
do
you
it.
Would.
I always do that. Yep. I touch my eyes when I shouldn't be touching my eyes.
Imagine that.
Work in sawdust and then I touch my eyes. I'm really dumb about that.
Yes.
Anyway, you put ammonia on the rag, you wipe the wall down, and then you check the rag.
Yep.
That's really all you're doing. If the paint comes off onto the rag, some of the color from the wall, then it's latex.
Yes.
If the paint on the wall softens, or on the trim, or on the piece of furniture softens, it's latex.
Yes.
Now, if you go online, or if you ask, you know, some of the older painters out there, the old recommendation was always denatured alcohol.
Right.
Now, that would work as well. The downside, there is a limitation to using denatured alcohol in this test, and it's that a lot of the newer acrylic resins are not affected by denatured alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So you could wipe down a surface with denatured alcohol and have it have no reaction and think it's oil-based when, in fact, it's just a latex with a new acrylic resin.
Right.
Ammonia will always work, and everybody's got it on hand. So go ahead and use that.
Yes, exactly. So now that you've done that, now the second question that comes up is, okay, if I have oil, can I paint latex over that? And the short answer is yes, you absolutely can. And putting latex paint over interior oil-based paint is really all about the prep. We harp on prep all the time.
You might even say nag.
Oh, my goodness.
Depends on who's saying it. If
right.
I'm saying it, then it's just really timely,
right.
intelligent recommendations. If it's Betsy, it's nagging.
Right. Well, okay, now I'm going to nag on my next point because I want people to be aware of something here. If you do have oil-based paint, lead-based paints, which are oil, were used in homes up until 1978. That's when they got rid of all the lead in paint. So if you have a home that is older, there's a good chance that the paint in that home is actually lead-based. And if you're concerned about that, you want to be sure sure that you're following what the EPA suggests for that. They have a whole website that will tell you everything you need to know about that.
Right. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Right.
And that will help you out with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know that it's just regular oil-based paint, not lead-based, but just regular oil-based paint,
yep.
that's what we're talking about, you can cover it with latex.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to do first is to start by washing the walls down with TSP,
yes.
trisodium phosphate. It's
mm-hmm.
a good cleaner. We talk about it all the time.
Yep.
It's a degreaser. Wash the walls down with that and then scuff sand them with a 150 grit sandpaper to a 180 grit sandpaper, somewhere
yep.
in that range. Maybe put it on a pole sander.
Makes it a whole lot easier.
Way faster. Come into the store at Repcolite. Ask for a pole sander. It's inexpensive. And it will really cut the time down.
Right. Once you've got everything sanded, then wipe it all down with a damp rag. You want to be sure that all the dust is off of there. Now, I know that there are some things out there that recommend you use a tack cloth. We don't like to recommend that because a lot of times you run into them leaving residue behind, and that can actually interact with the paint that you're trying to put on there. So
right.
avoid
Just
the tack cloth.
Use a damp rag. That works out perfect.
Right.
Once the wall is dry, which shouldn't take very long,
nope.
then it's time to prime.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those instances where a primer is strongly recommended.
Right.
And there are a ton of options out there. Now,
yes.
the main thing that we want to stress is that you're looking for a primer that promotes adhesion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are lots of primers out there. There are some very popular ones that people talk about all the time, and that's the one they want to go to.
Right.
But the thing is, that's mainly a stain-blocking primer, and we could even argue about the effectiveness or the quality of that primer,
yes.
but that's not the point right now.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, you're not looking for a stain-blocking primer in
no.
this instance in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking primarily for something that promotes adhesion. So
right.
what we'd recommend is Insulex Aqualock.
Yep.
Insulex is a company owned by Benjamin Moore,
right.
and they produce a product, a primer called Aqualock.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for adhesion. It offers a great price point.
Yep.
It's soap and water cleanup.
That's
so
always
that's
a
good.
Bonus.
And it's perfect for areas that would receive, you know, less wear and tear.
Right. Now, if you have an area that takes a bit more wear and tear, perhaps cabinets, trim, something like that, you probably want to go with the Insulex Stix primer. It has superior adhesion. It's an actual bonding primer. So you want that for those high traffic areas. It is a little bit pricier, but for things like cabinets, it's going to wear a whole lot better.
Right, definitely the way to go. Once you've primed it and the primer's dry, it's time to top coat, and at that point you're really up to your choice of latex paint. There are tons of options out there. Just stop out at any Repcolite or Port City paint store and we'll make a recommendation, or you can email us, radio@repcolite.com. We'll go straight to Betsy and I, and we will get you a recommendation right away.
We will.
Pronto.
Even on the weekends.
Yeah, we do that on the weekends. We do
we
that
do.
After hours.
Yes.
We have really no social life. At least I don't. I don't know about you. It's limited social life.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know your personality. I can't imagine you have too many friends. So
kind of like you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very elite group. That's how I like to describe it. So email us anytime. We'll get you a recommendation and help you with whatever you've got going on.
Now, are you losing the battle against dust in your home? Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe it's your ductwork. And maybe it's time for a cleaning. That's next. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back.
We are.
Betsy's back too. I'm sorry,
uh-huh.
everybody. She decided to come back.
Well,
I'm joking, because you could leave, couldn't you?
Yes, I could, and then you'd have to carry the show. Good
yeah,
luck.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I didn't
Thanks
think
for coming
so.
Back, Betsy.
Hey, no problem. So I am very excited because we have Brad Krause from Service Professor here in the studio with us to talk about duct cleaning of all things. Brad, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so I have recently noticed that I can clean and clean and clean and clean, and yet there is still dust and dog hair everywhere in my house. I mean, I vacuum every single day and I clean the ceiling fan blades and there's still stuff that is up there all the time.
You should just burn that place to the ground
I'm
and start over.
So
filth pot.
Well, but wait, it got me thinking, could it be from my air ducts? Do they possibly need to be cleaned? Is that why I'm seeing so much dirt everywhere?
Certainly part of it. So when you said dogs, that's kind of the magic scenario that depicts duck
you
cleaning.
You may tell her that her, you know, her cleaning skills blow too. I mean, don't feel bad. She'll look angry for a while,
I'm gonna
but she'll get
that.
Over it.
I'll let you take care
I'll
of
bring
part
that
then,
up
okay?
later.
There we go. So absolutely. No, that certainly is part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's dust in your air and the dust on your ceiling fan blades, mm-hmm. on your counters and different things of that nature, then you have to realize too that you're breathing all that in, which
right.
you know, from an air quality standpoint, that's a big deal today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people take that serious. We strive at Service Professor to have the air in our customers' homes to be the cleanest air they breathe all day. That's really, right. we say that all the time. And we do that through different measures, you know, through air filtration of the HVAC system to duct cleaning. So duct cleaning does need to happen on a regular basis. We believe it's going to allow for that air to be the cleanest that you're going to breathe all day. And you can state that with confidence.
So this whole duct cleaning thing, I've run into that before. I've had people suggest that. I lived in an older house a while back, and I kind of peeked through some vents that I could see, and I ran my little shop vac in as far as I could. And I had other people tell me, don't bother hiring people to do duct cleaning. I'm going to be honest. They said it's just not worth it. You're right here, and you're glaring. No.
Sure.
You're actually took those it quite
are,
well.
Those are evil eyes, by the way.
No, but help me understand.
No,
is it worth it?
I can appreciate that, you know, and obviously we all have conviction in what we do for a living. But I think that the before and after pictures are telling sign. I mean, they don't lie. None of them are fake. That's literally what we find.
You've
in
got
ductwork.
These on your website or something like that?
They're
or?
On all of our marketing materials. Do a quick Google image of before and after pictures. It's also a great way of recovering old toys and things that you haven't found for years.
Yes.
I did find that out. Yeah.
We've let customers know that they have a serious snake problem from the snake sheds we've found in their ducts. So a lot of other things come out of it. But yes, they do need to be cleaned. Now, for somebody that's not interested or concerned about air quality, then perhaps that's not for them. Mm-hmm. But for somebody that is, it truly makes a difference. And we use a device that's called Air Advice. And we run this in the home on all of our calls to show you the actual air quality, the particulates in your air. And you see a distinct difference after post duct cleaning than pre duct cleaning. Mm-hmm. So it truly does work, and we can't make those reports up. That's sensing the air and what's mm-hmm. in there, and it does make a difference.
So if I'm looking down my heat register and I happen yep. to see a lot of stuff that's stuck down in there, does that mean it's time to call you?
Well, that's probably a good telling sign. Yeah,
okay.
You know,
just close that one.
Yeah,
fill up another
yeah.
one for a while.
So what takes place is as dirt accumulates in your duct system, mm-hmm. obviously the warm air or cool air that's supplying your home is blowing past that every day. Well, it's jumping into that air, if you will,
yeah.
and contaminating your air, making it dirtier. Maybe contamination is a strong word, but it's making it dirtier. Mm-hmm. So it makes your filtration harder. You're going to see your filters won't be as dirty post duct cleaning. All of those things combined, it's actually healthy for your system because airflow, as we've talked about in previous segments, is the health of your HVAC system, and the airflow also comes from the ductwork. So the more air you pass through that, the healthier it is, the longer that your HVAC system is going to last.
So what does a cleaning look like? I mean, what do you do? Do you just take my shop vac and cram that in there? I'm sure you've got a super high-end shop vac. How do you do it?
Yeah, it's called a giant truck. Yeah, so, okay. You know, you're right. And there are different ways. And certainly some contractors use these pull behind, you know, handheld. It's kind of like a glorified shop vac, if you will. We recommend to have it done really well that it's with a contractor that has one of the big trucks, you know, mm-hmm. that really puts a high number of CFM to that system. So you pressurize the system, and then you take there's an air compressor that's mounted on the truck as well with a wand, and it's a brush. And we have several rotary brushes that go into the duct system per the size of the duct system, and it actually goes in there and brushes it out just as it sounds. Puts that those particulates into the duct air, mm-hmm. and it's pressurized, so therefore it sucks it out going and leaving with us in our truck rather than being in your home.
So besides my dog and any other pets our listeners might have, what else can make our air really dirty? Or is that it? Is it just my dog?
It is a big contributor, Betsy, no doubt about it. There's several factors, you know, people that are, you know, want their windows open all summer. You know, we're letting the outside air, which is the dirtiest air that's out there, by the way, coming into your home all the time. And I'm a fresh air guy as well.
Right.
But that can also make them dirtier. Mm-hmm. But really, in your home, you have your supply vents where the heat and cooling comes out, typically mounted on the floor, right? They come out of the floor. And then you have what's called return air. So it's a system that goes in a big circle. So you have air coming in the furnace, air going out of the furnace, supplying your home. And actually, the dirtiest vents in your home are those return sides, because it's sucking all the air in from your home, even out of your living room, your kitchen. That will dirty up that return air vent. But actually, where the majority of the dirt comes from is when that ductwork is in a crawl space or in an attic, like they all are, or your mechanical room, a Michigan basement. They're sucking that air in as well, because none of these systems are perfectly sealed. So there's cracks and crevices where air seeps into there, and that makes your duct system dirty as well. Hence blowing it through the furnace into your air, and then you breathe it, and then repeat, repeat, repeat.
Okay, so we've got all this dirty air. How are we going to prevent this from happening? Because I don't want all that dirty air. Me breathing it. That's disgusting.
Right. So there's a few ways. So like, a duct system is never sealed perfectly, but there is technology out there that allows us to do so, and it's called AeroSeal. And we're one of the few contractors in West Michigan that supply AeroSeal. And basically, we seal ductwork from the inside out. It's the coolest thing. It's a neat process. So we literally shoot a sealant into your duct system. We pressurize your home, and then we shoot this sealant in there, and it wants to escape out of the ductwork. So it goes to where those cracks and crevices are. It accumulates, hence sealing the ductwork. So therefore, no other, you know, foreign air can come into your duct system other than what's getting pulled through your registers by the time we're done, hence making it a much cleaner system for you to breathe, but also increasing the longevity and comfort of the home. Because typically, on average, 30 to 40% of air is lost through leakage, believe it or not. So it doesn't get to where you want it to go to. So if you can imagine, if you alleviate that and eliminate it, more air is going to go to where you want, hence increasing your comfort as well.
Okay, now, when you talk about air ducts, it made me think, we talk all the time on the show about dryer fires and cleaning your dryer vents and things like that. Is that part of when you come out to clean our vents, is cleaning out our dryer vent
Please
part of that?
Please say yes.
It's, yes. So I'll go with yes, and it's all definitely an option. And actually, a lot of our full duct cleaning calls stem from somebody calling in just to get their dryer vent cleaned. Oh. So, you know, it's said that dryer vent fires are one of the major leading causes of damage for insurance companies in the United States, because it's a serious thing. And the longer that run is, the more you need to be concerned about it. And it's not to be taken lightly. I have religiously had my dryer vent cleaned annually, even before we did duct cleaning at Service Professor, just because, you know, I've got kids and stuff. It's just peace of mind type thing.
Brad, if our listeners want to get in touch with you for any of the things that we talked about, or any of the other things that you guys do at Service Professor, because you do everything from plumbing to electrical to heating and cooling and duct cleaning, a lot of different options, a lot of different services, how do they best get in touch with you?
Sewer as well, Dan, so thank you for plugging those.
Well,
you did forget
sewer,
one.
I forgot the sewer.
That we have talked about on the air
so
before, too.
I was so proud of myself. I was using my fingers to count them
that
all
was
off.
Good. That was great.
You just didn't have enough fingers. You needed some toes.
I just think it's funny that he'll jump in and make fun of me, but he dances around Betsy because she's scary, right?
Exactly.
See, there we go.
And people only hear her voice. They're not in here with her. Right?
I know.
This is something Dan and I realize.
Her whole side of the table is just cracked and crumbled from her meaty little
fist
pounding it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they best get in touch with you?
Well, we certainly strive to be the convenient company. So obviously all the traditional methods. You can certainly call us 871-1900. That's a 616 area code. Via our website, you can do it. You can inquire through our website, and we have live chat actually 24/7 now. So you can
24/7. My voice 24/7.
24/7.
Live chat.
You can contact us anyway other than yelling out your window, I would say.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Brad, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, coming up after the break, we're going to make you a more confident shopper the next time you buy flooring. Stay right there.
If you want
want to take your DIY skills up a rung? The Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed those commercials.
I'm sure they enjoy them. Uh-huh. I'm sure Nick from Johnson Carpet One here enjoyed them as much as we did.
Tapping his toe to all the little jingles.
He was. Well, it's great that he's back because we always ask very specific questions about specific types of flooring. And today we're going to hit some of the general flooring topics. Nick, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Now, selecting floors, whether it's for a whole house or just a single room, is a huge decision. You know, it's something we have to live with for a very long time, or we hope to live with for a very
certainly
long time.
Don't want to be changing it on a regular basis.
No, we don't. So let's start with some basic tips for our listeners, things that we need to do or consider when we go in to buy flooring.
You mentioned, like, you know, we want them to last a long time. That is one of the biggest considerations, is how long do you want your floor to last?
Okay.
Carpet, they say the average in the industry is people change it out about every 8 years. West Michigan, we are very nice on taking care of our products. We're very proud of our homes and stuff like that. So most people average is about 10 to 12 years. So if you hard surface will tend to last you a lot longer. Those we're having down for, you know, 15, 20, sometimes longer, you know, with hardwood floors, that's sometimes an investment for a lifetime. So kind of figuring out how long you want to be in your place versus, you know, how long you want your flooring to last and stuff like that.
You said hard surfaces. Does that mean just hardwood floors, or does that mean all those planks that lock together?
Like the vinyl planks.
All of that other stuff. Yeah. Where does that fall in the range?
Well, anything that's not soft. So, you know, carpets, it's soft. Everything else we consider hard surface.
Okay.
You know, hardwood and then tile floors are going to be your most longest lasting floors. Those pretty much, you know, most people have in their house for 20 years plus. You know, sometimes you have them up to 40 years if you take care of them correctly.
Okay.
You know, the vinyl floors, the laminates, people tend to change those out a little bit more. So the 10 to 20 category usually.
Okay.
So those you can be maybe a little bit more fashion oriented on. You know, you can be a little bit more on trend because, you know, who knows what's going to be in style in, in a couple decades or so.
Right.
So what about hardwood flooring then? Is that just one of those surfaces that stays on trend throughout the years, or can that look really dated after a while?
Some of them can. I mean, that's where you know, the heavily stained ones, you know, that you see, you know, black floors come in and out, you know, and hardwood stained black comes in and out every few years, you know, or a super white color comes in. But hardwood colors, because you're dealing with a natural product, you know, you're going to have natural wood tones, and natural tones never go out of style. I mean, you know, you look at Frank Lloyd Wright houses and, you know, the tones in them, you know, the wood tones in there, still current these days. Those are things that are never going to change.
So those are things that we can look for. What about with carpet and stuff like that? You know, I've got a boatload of kids, five little kids, and now we've got a dog. We just keep adding things. You know, traffic areas and traffic zones where I can see the carpet is wearing. It's getting to the point where I need to make a purchase. What am I looking for?
Well, in your case, you're looking for concrete, not carpet.
But we fall down a lot. We're going to have to wear
helmets. You are clumsy.
Just to be safe. So if we decide to not go with concrete, because maybe we will.
Okay.
But if we go with carpet.
Carpet comes in so many different styles and looks and patterns. It's amazing what we can do with carpet these days. Even things we thought we couldn't do a couple of years ago, we can do with carpet. Loops will always wear best for traffic areas. And they're not like the hard Berbers that we had in like the 80s and 90s.
Which are reminiscent of concrete.
Yes, they are. Some people refer to them as basement Berbers. But they're amazing. You take care of one of those carpets, you're going to get 20 plus years out of it. You know?
But you're saying it doesn't look like those old Berbers that my grandma had.
No. You know, they're softer. They're more current colors and stuff like that. They don't have that white with blues and greens in there, you know, and stuff like that. So they look much better these days. But loops are always going to wear your best because you can't wear down a loop carpet. Things with a lot of more going on with them.
What do you mean, like patterns or textures?
Patterns and textures and colors.
Color,
you know,
flex, stuff like that.
You know, that super dense one color beige carpet that people had for a
the one where you see all the vacuum lines.
Okay. Those will always show things quicker, so the more we can have going on, the more we can hide with it.
Is there a particular fiber that I'm looking for, or is it just going to be dependent on the style that I choose?
Some of it's dependent on the style you choose, but, you know, always nylon and smart strand are always your best synthetic fibers.
Now, smart strand, that is specific to a company? Is that Mohawk?
Yes, that is Mohawk Carpets. Okay. And then, you know, obviously we've discussed wool in the past before because I do love my wool carpets. Wool carpets will also last you a very, 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 very long time.
Okay, now, carpet, does that make a house warmer? I'm thinking winters here. It can get very cold. And I know solid surfaces, people love them. Yes.
But what about summer, Betsy? Are you going to replace your carpet?
No.
You should.
But
Nick would love that.
Yeah.
Winter tends to drag here. And I'm thinking, it can get so cold. Mm-hmm. Is carpet a better choice in a home?
You kind of have to think of carpet sometimes as fabric for the flooring.
Okay.
So obviously fabric is always warmer than a hard surface.
Mm-hmm.
Tile is always going to be your coldest surface. We don't do as much with tile as a full floor in Michigan. You know, there are,
for that same reason that Betsy's talking about, it's just so cold.
Yes. I mean, you can do in-floor heating. I mean, if you even want to spend the money on that, I mean, it's amazing. You can heat your whole house with that, but you know, that gets kind of up there in pricing. So, you know, so a lot of carpet, you know, vinyl's not as warm as carpet, but not as cold as tile.
Okay.
Same with your laminates and your hardwoods, you know, there's still going to be some warmth to them. So,
is that something that you should be putting rugs over just to warm it up a little bit?
Yes. Rugs are always great for warming, use, everything.
Okay.
Of the above.
Perfect.
So what about, we got just a little bit left, what about like large open areas, open spaces? Mm-hmm. You know, so many homes have big open floor plans.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my dining room area, you know, it just bleeds into the living room.
Yeah.
Do I just do one floor through the whole thing? I mean, what do I do with that?
If it's slightly subdivided, you can get away with doing different carpets. You know, there's plenty of carpets that coordinate with each other. So you could do like, you know, a loop and a cut pile in different areas and they meet in sections. Otherwise, you know, hard surface throughout or a combination of hard surface and carpet is perfectly, we do a lot of these days. Or, you know, area rugs also will help distinguish the space.
Is that something that you guys can help with if someone brings in their floor plan? Can you help figure out maybe where good breaking points are if they want to put some of these different surfaces together?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's where it gets really confusing to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a color and design event that we've been talking about for a long time now. That's coming up November 7, geared towards DIYers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be there, aren't you?
I'm going to be there, yes.
Yeah, representing Johnson Carpet One.
Yes.
And you're going to be available to answer questions, talk about these things. We're hoping to set up a panel discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because UBU Home Furnishings is also going to be there.
Right.
And we'll be there, and we'll have this whole group where we'll be able to answer questions from paint, flooring, furniture, all kinds of different
things. We can almost help people design an entire room in just this one little thing.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a reason to come in itself, I think.
I think so. Now, are you bringing anything? Are you giving anything away?
We'll have an area rug for raffling off, and then we'll, you know, in the vignettes and stuff, we'll be showing some of the latest styles and flooring and stuff like that. And, you know, we'll hopefully have a booth set up and maybe have some samples on there you can touch and feel.
Awesome. So if you want more information, you can come to our event. The tickets are online. You can find them right now at repcolite.com. If you want to get a hold of Nick at Johnson Carpet One, how's the best way they can do that?
Just come into the store. We're downtown Granville. We've been there for over 60 years now.
Wow.
Corner of Chicago Drive and Wilson.
Excellent. Nick, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Now that we've answered some flooring questions, let's answer some furniture questions. How about that, Betsy?
Sounds perfect.
That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And today we have Samantha Baker from UBU Home Furnishings in the studio with us to take a little of the anxiety out of buying furniture because it can be a little stressful. Samantha? Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So what are some of the most common questions that you get when people walk into a furniture store? Because I know for me it's overwhelming. What kinds of things do you hear?
One of the first things we hear when people walk in is, hey, I really like this sofa, but it's in leather. Can it come in fabric? Oh. And the answer is usually yes. A lot of times, if something is in leather, it can be in fabric. And when customers hear that, they think, okay, there's like five choices of fabrics to go through. Right. But that's usually not the case. It's usually like hundreds of different fabrics.
Okay, so there's all kinds of different options. Does that mean that I'm paying more, or does it all depend on what I pick?
So usually with fabric, it does go by grade, which determines your price. We do have a couple of promotion deals where same piece, same fabric is going to be the same price. So you go up in fabric, it's going to be the same price through a bracket of fabrics.
Wow, so that's something that's running right now, or that's something that just...
That's something that we have going on almost all the time.
Okay.
It's through one of our vendors, and it's a great deal. It's a great way to go because you can do, you know, the more fun patterns, the more colorful patterns without having to worry about price.
So is there a long wait?
So usually it does take about 6 to 8 weeks, which is normal for an upholstery company. Can go a little bit faster, which we always love when it comes in quicker than usual, but there's always the delays too, or around holiday times it does get to be more towards that 8 weeks. So just depends on when you order, and usually we say about 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, so are there tons of different choices? Like, let's say you have 8 different styles of couch. Do each of those 8 styles have hundreds of different fabrics, or is it kind of one fabric? So if I chose a couch from this style but a chair from a different style, are the fabrics going to be the same? Does that make sense? Or is that confusing?
No, I get what you're saying.
I guess it depends. We have different companies.
Okay.
So if you choose a sofa from one company, there may be different fabrics for your chair from another company. Sometimes they overlap because some fabrics are more popular than others.
Okay.
But if you want the same fabric on all your pieces, we would have to probably go through the same company to get the same look.
But a lot of time, is that something that you'd recommend?
Not necessarily. I like to do a little bit of a contrast. So having your sofa in a more neutral and having your chair be more of the statement piece, having that stand out just a little bit more. That makes sense.
Oh, that definitely does. I get that.
You
because
stole
that is,
my question.
Did I really?
See,
I was very proud of myself because my living room is like that.
It is like that, isn't
it?
Yeah,
we've got, well, I don't know how to describe it. I'm not as smart
the
as you guys.
The couch is plain, yeah. And then your chairs
Well, let's
have...
call it neutral. Don't you think neutral sounds better than plain?
Yeah.
Plain sounds like boring.
Much like you.
Yeah. So we get the chair in a different, and when my wife wanted to do that, I thought she was insane because she had this big pattern that she wanted for the chair, but it ended up working out really well.
Well, and you have leather in there as well,
well
don't
we'll
you?
We'll call it pleather. I don't know what you technically call it. The guy who sold it to me kept telling me over and over again, sir, it is not leather. You keep calling it leather.
It just looks like leather.
It does. It does.
Okay.
So what other questions do you run into?
A lot of times, especially if couples or families come in, they will say, we have kids. We have a dog. We have a cat. We can't have this really beautiful furniture because it's going to get messed up. So they say, is there anything that you would recommend for kids that spill? Dogs that bring in dirt, all that good stuff. And we go, yes, there is, definitely. Especially when it comes to fabrics, they're coming out with new performance fabrics all the time. And when I say performance fabrics, that stands up to what it means. It means it's super durable, easy to clean, and it's going to last a long time for your family. So there's always an answer. Usually people come in and say, well, my kid's going to mess it up. We can't get this. But you really can. You can get something that's going to be durable both in the frame and in the fabric so that you can have this piece for a long time and have your kids jump on it and spill on it and still be able to clean it up.
Oh, I need something that my dog can get on and all of the dog hair comes out. I need like the anti-magnetized kind. So it repels all the dog hair.
Nice.
So it like goes on the floor.
So is this performance fabric? Mm-hmm. Is this more than just something that's fabric that's got a spray protectant? over top of it.
So there's three different kinds, of performance fabrics. There's Krypton, which is a bath solution that the fabric goes in, and that is actually water repellent. Water will stay on top of it. Your red wine will stay on top of it and not soak in. So it's super easy to clean up. Then there's Revolution, which is woven in the fibers of the fabric. It's still super easy to clean, but it doesn't have that repellence to it because it wasn't bathed in a solution bath. And then there's Sunbrella, which is resistant to the sun. It's made to be in porches, sunrooms, things like that. And it also has that repellency of the water, so it is super cleanable.
Is there one better than the other one, or is it just depend on the situation?
Depends on the situation, depends on what you want it to do. Work with the fabric, choose what colors you like, what texture you like, because they're all a little bit different. And then, of course, like I said, if you have a sunroom, you can do Revolution, you can do Krypton, but Sunbrella is going to be the best performing fabric for you.
Well, we're in the studio with Samantha Baker from UBU Home Furnishings, and we're talking about some common questions that people have when they head into the furniture store to make a big purchase. We went through a couple of them. What other questions are out there?
A lot of times people have interesting spaces and they're trying to convey it to us in the store. They say, like, what can you do to help me figure out what furniture I need in my space? And that's when we come in and say, yes, we are all degreed designers. We would love to help you out. We would like to come out to your house. We have that service where we can do measurements. We can see the colors of your walls. We can look at the furniture you have currently and put together a plan for you and your family specifically that's going to work for you and the space you have. So that's a big value to customers when they actually say, oh, yeah, there's a designer here that can do all of this figuring out for me, make some decisions that I may not have thought of, and have it all come together so that it makes sense for us.
Well, I know there are so many things. We're running out of time, but when we moved, I had to get furniture for a living room, and that's where we ended up with this chair. And it turned out really well. But honestly, a lot of it was, I wanted this kind of chair, so we got the pleather chairs.
Yes.
And then my wife wanted a certain kind of couch, and so we found that. And then the chair kind of fit together, but it was stressful trying to make sure that this whole thing was going to work. That's a tremendous value to have somebody help me walk through that. Because even buying furniture, I've found that at the little house that we had, the very first house, we bought chairs that looked just right in the store.
Yeah.
And we got them home and they took up half the room because they were enormous.
Well, that's the problem I am going to have here shortly, because I need to get new furniture and the room is very small, but I would like a few extra seats, but I have no idea how to arrange them. So I'm thinking that Samantha here might be able to help me out with that. That'd be great. And for all of you who are listening right now, you can actually come out and see Samantha at our event coming up November 7th. She's going to be there.
In the dunk tank. Right, Samantha?
No!
I was not aware of this.
It's a surprise.
Surprise! No, she's going to be out there November 7th representing UBU Home Furnishings, and she'll be able to answer more of your questions. If you have questions like this, or if you come with something specific for your room, I'm sure she'd be more than happy to answer those questions for you. Or maybe you can even make an appointment and have her come out and look at your space.
Yeah, UBU is bringing a bunch of furniture to make all of our displays look like finished rooms. They did that last year and it looked great. They're going to do it
again. We provide the paint, they provide the furnishings.
Yeah, so you can check out furniture, some of the coolest stuff out there, and talk to experts and get the info you need so that when you make that next big purchase, you're doing it the right way.
Right.
Samantha, thanks so much for being with us today and November 7th.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited for the event.
And that's it. That's all we wrote. That's all we planned on.
It is.
It's over. We got nothing left.
Yeah.
Unless we wing it.
Until next
I don't know
week.
That anybody really wants to sit through that.
No, probably not.
I've listened to us wing it before.
Not always brilliant.
Yeah, not the best. But if you want to go back and listen to this episode or any past episode, you can find them all at repcolite.com.
And we've got a couple seconds left to plug our upcoming color and design event. You can come out and learn about Benjamin Moore's Color of the Year and how you can work with it and some of the upcoming color trends in your decorating. And on top of that, you can talk with Nick and Samantha, and they can answer any flooring or furniture questions you might have.
It really is a great night. We've got great food, wine, some really good giveaways.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of good stuff. Tickets are online at repcolite.com. Get there and check it out. Out. I'm Dan Hansen, and my voice is changing.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you take the crazy out of whatever big purchase you make next, whether it's flooring, furniture, or even paint colors. You just need to come to our super fantastic event, starring me.
Wow, and that was not a shameless plug
Betsy,
at all.
You'll be there too. I'm a shameless kind of person, Betsy. Thanks for listening.